Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Our hymn is number 17.
Let us give our attention to the reading of God's word as it is found in Matthew, the 28th chapter, the 16th to the 20th verses. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Will you join me as we go to God in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful unto thee for these moments that we can turn aside from the task of the day, for the time that we can worship thee, for the time that we can read from thy word, and that we can truly commune with thee through the medium of prayer. Our Father, we are grateful unto thee that we, as Christians today, can learn from the mistakes of those in the past. But our Father, we are even more grateful that we can also learn from the fruitful labors of those in days gone by. Help us while we are here at this place of learning to take advantage of the fruitful labors of men who have given their lives, who have given their best, that we as Christians might be better witnesses for thee. Lead us this morning in this chapel service. May we glorify thy name and may we be spiritually fed by having been here. This prayer we make in Christ's name. Amen.
Today we honor the 25 graduates of Morris Hill College who enrolled here at Southeastern Seminary. And we've invited one of their beloved professors of Morris Hill College to come as our chapel speaker, Professor M. H. Kendall, head of the department and professor of religion at Morris Hill. Professor Kendall is a graduate of Morris Hill, of Wake Forest College, and of our Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, and has served as a postgraduate scholar at Harvard University. He is best known to many of us as a writer of Sunday school lessons, not only for the Biblical Recorder here in our own state, but for our quarterlies published by the Southern Baptist Convention, the Sunday School Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's written the Young People's Quarterly for several years or many times, the Teacher's Quarterly, and has also written for the Training Union Department. More recently, Professor Kendall has served on the Baptist Education Study Group task, known to us as BEST, and has been greatly concerned with some of the problems facing our colleges, our denominational colleges. It's a great joy that we have Professor Kendall to come to our campus, and he will speak to us after an anthem by our choir.
It is a real pleasure for me to be here today. One of the great blessings that I often think about of my life is the fact that when I was a student in the colleges and seminaries, incidentally, I make that designation because I never forget Dr. William Lewis Petit sitting on a platform, and a young man said, when I was a student at Wake Forest and Dr. Petit was a professor, he corrected him and said, young man, we were both students. So when I was a student in the colleges and seminaries, some of the great men that I sat under, some of those are here today. When I was here, we didn't have a beautiful chapel like this. It was in an old building burned down many years ago. In fact, burned down while I was a student here. And under that chapel, it was on the second floor, I attempted to study psychology and philosophy and became very interested in philosophy under one of the great teachers sitting here this morning. I'm going to do something this morning, as I told Mr. Blackmore, that possibly you are not expecting. More than likely, you expected me to give a brief devotional thought, and possibly I could do that, maybe stand up par with some of those that you heard in the past, and then more than likely you would soon forget it. I'm tempted to make a comment or two in that direction, such, for example, as blessed are the pure in heart, because the word pure in heart comes from two Greek words. It means those who see pure, for they shall see God. And then I'm sure I need not comment about the passage of scripture read that we usually designate as the Great Commission, particularly any of you who are preparing for the language of Zion and to go to heaven by taking Greek. If you missed it back in college, I hope at least you are doing your proper duty here. The aorist tenses and the present tenses there and the meaning of those and their significance in that paragraph. The going forth, the making of disciples, and then the baptizing and the teaching of them. But you can see easily from this that teaching is an integral part of our commission. And so this is the thing that I'm talking to you about this morning for these few moments. Now I know that I do not begin to have the time to do what I ought to do and what I would like to do. And therefore, I have cut and dried this subject just as much as possible to fit into the few moments that we have. But I could not cease to take advantage. I could not miss an opportunity such as this, to take advantage of an opportunity where most of you very soon will be the pastors of our churches and serving in this state convention and other states. And you'll be having a great deal to do with our Baptist colleges. Now, here's where I've given much of my life. I'm in my 29th year at Mars Hill. If I can take 11 more years there, then I'll go out on retirement and start doing something else. Some other things I've been wanting to do and never had time as a teacher. This is an integral part of our commission. What will we do with our colleges? 7 colleges in this state, 54 throughout the Southern Baptist Convention, and 49 of them are accredited. Though one of these, I believe, has been added to this list since this statement came out, and another one is in what we hope is the successful process. That's Mars Hill College. Thus, we are part, we Baptists are, in our educational program of a vast educational system. Someone said that adding new colleges, as we still are doing in some instances, that we may be doing something that we are not thinking through as thoroughly as we should. Because in order to add or to build a senior college of good academic standing, it would take at least $20 million. So to build and maintain one would be quite expensive to add to already our overburdened expenses. Yet with these colleges, we actually educate in our colleges in the United States 1/800% of all the students who are in our colleges. Now, the thing I'm interested in, I heard our own president, who is now in his second year at Mars Hill, making a speech not long ago, and he reminded us that the whole system of higher education in America is in a crisis. And I get some papers, brochures, magazines on education. I have some before me now, this one called the Chronicle of Higher Education, to show you some of these conditions. For example, would you like to be a president of a college or university? Well, 300 colleges and universities are looking for new presidents. And I understand that the average life of a college president is 4 years. When Dr. Bentley heard that, he said, well, I have 2 more years to go. Resentment and doubt and frustration. This is a headline. Aired by junior college teachers. Many private colleges are facing financial crisis. And then you read about the Catholic professor who was leading the picket line. Well, here's his picture. A Catholic university priest on the picket line. And the AAUP, American Association of University Professors, to which many of us belong, to consider stand against strikes by faculties. That is, they to consider as to whether or not they will relinquish their objection to strikes by faculties. And in this one is a picture of the burning of some art treasures, and president quits after art fire. Baptist College leaves the church and seeks U.S. aid. And if maybe I'm committing an anathema by bringing to this pulpit the review and expositor of the Southern Seminary. I believe you get out one also, don't you? Maybe I should have brought that one. I know most of the seminaries do. But this issue was on Baptist and higher education. And in one of the articles called New Directions in Baptist Colleges and Universities, the writer made a statement of this type. I'll more or less paraphrase it. Of a young man, quoting from a young student, it might be expected that in acquiring a liberal education, a group of young men might find ideas and ideals to which they could cling with courage and conviction. But perhaps nowhere is there so much lip service paid to democratic ideals and so little stern devotion as in the American colleges. What have we been taught to revere? When our elders refer to eternal verities, we are likely to recall the lesson you instructors in sociology have driven home, that morals are relative. You've heard of situation ethics, haven't you, and pragmatic conditions, are relative to time and place. And what is good in one society may be bad in another one. And then this BEST committee, Baptist Education Study Task, there were quite a number of these committees, meetings throughout the Southern Baptist Convention, and we met for 2 years, that is, January, February, and March, and this for 2 years. The committee that I served on, we were studying the financial condition of our colleges, and this is where I became more aroused than ever, and I think I came to see some things I had never fully seen before. But one of the problems of this BEST committee report brings up, and this is one reason why I'm taking advantage of this situation this morning, is between the colleges, the churches, and the denomination, therefore, is the word communication. This is one of our great problems. I'm quite sure that it is. At Mars Hill, I spent over 25 years going to Baptist associations and other meetings, and then 3 years on the enlargement program, traveling throughout this state, Virginia, Tennessee, South Carolina, Georgia, and to the tip of Florida, meeting our alumni and other friends. And I believe this is one of our great problems, is we do not, out in the churches and the denomination, have an understanding between us as we should. It is a problem of communication. Now, many of the problems that go on our campus, you're aware of them, and quickly aware of them. If we should throw a dance at Mars Hill, you would know about it right off and probably take it up in the convention. Or if there should be a drinking spree on our campus. Or if we should get some kind of religious crank in the religion department, that you'd know about. Or if some teacher should become so bold as to print a book, maybe I shouldn't mention Genesis, you would know about this also right away. But there are some problems that we face that possibly you do not know enough about. For example, some of the things that came out in this report. The biblical foundation for education lies in its philosophy of man. Man is free, and thus he has an obligation, and here an obligation, in search for truth. And in the college, of course, there must be a certain amount of academic freedom if he is to do this creditably. Education is not an option of the Christian. It is a divine imperative. The Christian teacher, as you well know, I suppose, is the heart of Christian education. The Christian college must be characterized by excellent teaching. The quality of the teacher determines the quality of the institution. But how are we going to get these teachers? We enter immediately in a field of keen competition with industry, with other colleges, state schools. Two young men who finished Mars Hill, whose fathers are now two of our fine teachers, but they could not come back to Mars Hill. The salary was too enticing to go elsewhere. My own son, who finished Mars Hill in engineering and then Clemson University, is now on a government study grant at the Redstone Missile Base in Huntsville, Alabama. They're paying all of his college expenses and giving him a salary that is larger than the majority of teachers at Mars Hill get. Salaries must be on a competitive basis with other institutions. We must have 30% of our faculty with PhDs if we are to be accredited. And first of all, there aren't even enough to go around, and let alone to get them for our Christian college. 60% of our teachers must have 3 years of study beyond the AB degree if we are to be accredited. The denomination gives in support of our college 16 cents and 65/100ths of a cent on every dollar we spend. Where shall we get the remainder of the money? Someone said, shall we accept tax money from taxes, or what kind of tax money shall we accept? And this statement was made: for many colleges, the real issue is survival. Now, I know this sounds pessimistic, but these are some things that we are facing, and you will be facing them certainly very soon. The religious scope of the Baptist college is not to be measured by rules or the lack of them, by the study of the Bible or its absence, by compulsory chapel services or voluntary worship. It is not to be confused with pious looks or acts or anything external. The religious scope is as high as the purpose of the college, as wide as the faculty and students who make up the community of scholars, and deep enough to shine the light of the gospel not only upon man's relationship to God, but man's relationship to his fellow man, to himself, and to the world. The future of the Christian college will be conditioned by the extent to which it will conscientiously limit the scope of its activities on the one hand, and by the adequacy of its financial support on the other hand. One of the most acute issues that we face in the colleges is a financial one. We came to realize this quite acutely at Mars Hill when a committee came onto our campus, and surprisingly enough to us, the first thing they touched was the financial situation. A $500,000 indebtedness on the new gymnasium complex said, this must be eliminated before you even come before us for accreditation. Putting out $50,000 a year on a football team and losing games from 40 to 60 to nothing. Dr. Bentley said he believed that Colorway, they just got so tired making touchdowns, they just gave up and quit at 60 to nothing. But the athletic department says we must have $50,000 more if we are to compete with other institutions of our standing, and we can't get it. And so we are cutting out football for the coming year. I heard Dr. Blackwell say the other day about Dr. Bentley, he said he's finding out it takes a lot of money to run a little college. What shall we do with our colleges? These and many other problems that we face, and you will be hearing of them as you get out into the churches. Well, a member of our committee said that he felt we ought to drop two of the colleges in North Carolina and take the money to support the others. Dr. Bentley quickly did a little figuring and said we could charge $25 per student more than we're now charging and take care of all the extra money that would bring to us. That would not solve the problem. Another prominent businessman on this committee stood and rather vigorously said, I think we ought to drop them all, that Baptists cannot afford the expense of higher education. Have religion departments in the state schools and have BSU programs on these campuses and work here. Now, I'm glad to say this is by far not the unanimous feeling of that particular committee. Then there are some of the schools that feel they would like to continue the support secured from the convention, but without control. and some of the members of committees, these committees, have felt the same way. Now, I've had to rush along. As I said, I'm cutting and drying this, and I have 5 minutes to go. And I don't know how much of this you are really soaking up, but I'm trying to lay on your mind the idea that how essential our Baptist colleges are to our program. Because here is my own feeling about it, my own opinion. I believe that our Baptist colleges are an integral part of our program as a denomination. I feel strongly that we cannot afford, we cannot afford to support them, we cannot afford not to support them. We cannot afford to relinquish them. We cannot afford to let them go. If we do, we will suffer as a denomination. Now, I'm thinking of many things to prove that, but I do not have the time to talk about them. And I would like further to say that some of the finest Christians I have ever known are what one person said out in association, the unknown heroes in the classrooms of these colleges. Some of the finest Christians, I'm speaking of all the seven colleges in North Carolina, that I have ever known are in the classrooms of these colleges. Federal aid, well, that would help some, but again, the best committee reminds us that would not thoroughly solve the problem, though this would be one of those things that will come up. So what shall we do? We shall give them our support, but also our understanding, at least an attempt at understanding, and appreciation. And before decisions are made, we will attempt to get all the facts in hand. I was in an association some time ago, and a man approached me, or called me to one side, and he had a very serious problem. He said, I have received directly from a girl who's in your school and is a member of my church that the girls are drinking in one of the dormitories. I said, is that so? And I again cut it down until I found out she was speaking about two girls in her own suite of rooms. I said, what do you want me to do about it? Of course, he said, I want you to report it. But don't in any way let it be known the source of your information, this girl who told me. So I went back and talked to the dean and said, I can't tell you the source of the information. He began to check up on it and went to the dean of women. Finally, the two girls were brought in, and they were daughters of two of the finest ministers in North Carolina, and they denied it completely and thoroughly, said, well, I've never taken a drink in my life. We do not drink. How did this get out? Well, we've both been sick and been taking some medicine. That's all we can figure. So finally, the girl who had reported it came in and acknowledged she had reported it, and the whole thing was wrong. And the dean of women sent her to me to apologize for the statement that she'd made, but she'd already spread that at home with her family and in the church that the girls at Mars Hill are drinking. So that we may get all the facts in hand. It may not be as bad as it sounds. Reminds me of a little thing I once heard, or it's a rather corny joke, I suppose, but it more or less illustrates the point. Things are not always as bad as they sound. A lady called the doctor and said, doctor, doctor, come quick. It is my husband. He is sick. It's his head. He's had it off and on all day, and sitting here now, holding it in his hands between his knees. See, things are not always the way they sound. I have to conclude this brief resume rambling this morning. I have a copy of a message here that I've referred to many times through the years and think a great deal of. It is a message on Christian education, delivered by Dr. A.C. Reed, Professor of Philosophy at Wake Forest College in 1952 to the Baptist State Convention. And I want to conclude with just two remarks that Dr. Reed makes in this message. One is about the Christian teacher. His only fear is of ignorance and unrighteousness. His only law is the spirit of truth. His only master is Jesus Christ. And the last paragraph, we have the enduring truth of God revealed in Christ. It is our sacred privilege and responsibility to say to people everywhere, upon this truth, with God's help, we shall stand and our institutions shall stand. Now, if I can find what the rest of the program says, may we now bow our heads as we have the benediction. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the situation in which Thou hast placed us. We know that privilege is far beyond possibly we could imagine unless we recognize those who have so little of these privileges in other parts of the world are ours. And yet we also recognize with every privilege goes a corresponding responsibility, and that we cannot long enjoy the privilege unless we accept the responsibility that goes with it. We thank Thee for the great denomination of which we are part and the work into which Thou hast called each one of us individually. And yet we know that all of the work in which we're involved, whether it be in the colleges, orphanages, hospitals, homes for the aged, seminaries, churches, whatever it may be, that all of this is really one work in which we are fulfilling the commission of our Lord. Bless us, we pray, and by Thy grace use us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.